had hoped that we would get an online presence of our consultant. And that's a conversation we're having.
This seems like a few questions could have been easily answered by.
Absolutely.
Well, I understand. I mean, we may also have, you know, contractual issues in terms of funding being utilized or time being utilized for corrections and those sort of things. So that may warrant, you know, further discussion on your part and discussion with council, et cetera. But we're not going to solve that here, but it's a very good question. So any comments, any other comments you want to convey?
Stop.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Okay. Council Member Funk, and then I have some closing comments on it.
Sure. A couple of things. First of all, you know, something that's not in this plan directly, but is very consistent with the policies that are laid out here, is what for me is my, you know, blue sky dream for Atascadero. That's having us being the, when the technology gets ripe, us being the demo case for a self-driving electric trolley that runs up and down El Camino Real from one end of the city to the other, and then bops out to the community center and printery and on one side, and bops out to the lake, park, and zoo on the other to cover all of our major commercial areas connected in town, and make it a whole lot. Imagine 3 o'clock in the afternoon if, you know, half the high school kids and a third of the junior high jump on the trolley to go to someplace closer to home or someplace, you know, where mom and dad work or after school programs or whatever. You know, there's just, and all kinds of things can be facilitated with fewer trips and reduced vehicle miles travels if we had some kind of resource like that, which is very different than your standard, you know, can we get another route of the run of the number 9 bus going through town sort of thing. This would be a whole different thing. So I think in the course of the 20 years that are envisioned in this plan, hopefully that day will come that we could pursue something that would, you know, if the technology actually works, that would really be cool for this community and would allow us to be the special and connected community and be environmentally good as well. So that's just, I just want to put it out there that there are some options that we can have that will be, you know, continue to be good. That, you know, it's, the technology is not ready for us to like make that part of a plan yet, but that day may come. So that would be my hope. And then the other thing that I wanted to come and, you know, talk about a little bit more is the dinosaur bone thing. This just drives me nuts because you can see where a well-intentioned requirement that is placed, you know, to protect, you know, some very special resources has become something that has a pretty broad spread and requires all kinds of projects to have to stop and hire a consultant and do a report and get, you know, the special, you know, stuff and potentially create a project killing event. So there's risk that you might find something and have to do, you might find a few fossils and then have to do a really complex scientific process that just totally screws up the kinds of projects that we want people to be bringing to our community to help us move forward together. So I would hope that we could explore the possibilities that staff would look at. You know, how can we do less of this, make it much more limited so that fewer people have to do this report? And then I'll come back in individual determination about, fussing at the state level about having to do this in the first place. Because this is how we layer on costs and make it difficult to build stuff is, you know, lots of really well-intentioned things that achieve secondary goals. And it just layers on like, you know, a 18-layer cake, of costs. And it makes things too much. So that's my comment on that. And we'll come back. I'll come back to the legislative angle in individual determination.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I would follow on that because, you know, whether it's paleontological, you know, resources or all, several other different things in general, you know, the state is totally contradictory. You know, they want us to allow for zone for housing. They want us to encourage the building of housing. And then they just put up impediment after impediment in terms of increased cost for doing housing mm-hmm. and increased risk for doing housing so that somebody embarks on something and then they find, you know, some dinosaur bones or this or that or something else. And the state just constantly, you know, writes laws that imposes costs and makes it more difficult to build anything, you know, because they say they want to encourage housing to be built, but their actions say otherwise. And I agree with Councilmember Funk that we would ask staff to do what they can to minimize the impact of this on projects in terms of either the limiting the criteria in which it would apply, that sort of thing, because all of these things do just add costs. And I would also address, like, you know, there's multiple mentions in here about our high priority towards the tree ordinance. And you know, we live in a community that I would almost guarantee you has, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands more trees than it did 50 or 100 years ago when this was established as an agricultural-based community. And yet we act like, oh my God, somebody's going to build a house and they have to cut down a couple trees, that it's the end of the world. And I think that is based on very faulty reasoning. I look at my own property, which had zero trees on it when we built, and now has, you know, probably a couple hundred trees and probably several score of oak trees that, you know, would fall under the ordinance if we were a commercial property. And it's just, there is so much overkill in this entire EIR and CEQA process that runs at cross purposes to the state's stated goals of encouraging housing. And we in Atascadero also want to encourage commercial development so that we have a better balanced city. One of the things that is a big problem in Atascadero is that jobs housing balance that staff referred to. We have a very low number of jobs compared to the amount of housing. We want to encourage jobs for a whole bunch of reasons, including revenue, but also so that our residents don't have to get in a car and drive to work in the morning over the hill. And if anybody actually truly cared about the environment, they would understand the importance of that, of having people stay in their community to work and then to shop and, you know, get services, et cetera. But every time you turn around in this process, they just try to make it more difficult to build by extraneous requirements and, you know, repetitive requirements. And so it's very frustrating to me to go through this process. And we spend a lot of money for an EIR that is 100 pages of a largely gobbledygook, quite frankly. But it's just part of the process that we're required to go through. And so, you know, with that, I want to thank staff for all of the effort they've put into this. And I know that you understand that, you know, council's desire in this is to try to make it easier for people to build things, because that's what we need to move forward as a community. So those are my comments. And I think that's about it. You guys have what you need from us.
We do. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So with that, that was our only major item. We will move on to council announcements and committee reports. And I'll start on my right with Councilmember Funk.
Okay. I attended a meeting of the Homeless Services Oversight Council last week, and we approved some additional grants that are, you know, routine in terms of, you know, elements of funding. The way homeless services funding is done is endlessly complicated, with the money coming from multiple state and federal and other programs, each of which has its own requirements and scope and timing and so forth. And this is all trying to be squeezed through a county purchasing process model, which really fits that badly. And we are trying to really work systematically at how you think about overall funding requirements. So the next large set of funding requirements that come up will have geographic minimums as well, and this one did it, this one also did. But so that that the critical services are available in each part of the county to people who are in those parts of the county, as well as performance-based awards that are based to whoever is who's getting the best results, that you know, they get more money than when there's not enough to go around. but that there are these needs in all parts of the county, and they're strong and capable providers in all parts of the county. So that's you know where what HSOC's working on. I also attended along with a number of staff members and the mayor, the SLO roundtable hosted by Economic Development Roundtable, hosted by REACH last week, and that was a very interesting discussion that with folks. You know, nothing truly path breaking, but I passed a couple of ideas along to staff for things that we might be able to work on.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Thank you. Last week, APCD met, Air Pollution Control District. Number of things we went over. They're trying to get a grant, and I think they're going to be successful on it. It's about $80,000 to be able to provide low-income families that qualify with a voucher to buy an e-bike for hopefully to cut down on energy costs for them to get around town and to work and whatnot. The vouchers would be up to $2,000, and there's specific e-bikes that would qualify for that. Some of these ones that these kids are riding that go 40, 50 miles an hour, they're not even legal in California, I guess, but those aren't going to be the ones that's going to be part of it. But it's about the environment and the footprint and everything. The other thing is that continuing to fund the engine replacement program for tractors and marine vessels. I think they have around $900,000 available. Individuals that qualify can get up to $125,000 to replace an engine, but that wouldn't cover the whole thing. It's up to 75%. The other thing is the probably one of the more complicated things that APCD is dealing with is up until for the last several years, the county has been taking care of their payroll. They're not going to do that anymore. So they have to transition to a contractor that's going to do that. So we've approved their selection of that. And the main thing is the software that is used in-house has to change. And anybody that's ever changed platforms from one type of software to another knows how complicated that can be. So that was a big deal. And they've got about 6 months to get that complete. And in finalizing or agreeing on their budget for the remainder of the year, I believe it was. So anyhow, it was a busy meeting, even though most of the supervisors that are there, all five of them were on it. Four of them were out at a meeting in Sacramento, but we did have a quorum, so it was still good. So thanks.
Thank you. How many staff does APCD have when you talked about changing HR systems?
Man, that's a good question. I think in the 50s. I mean,
okay.
I think it's about somewhere in the 50s, I think.
Okay. Because I would just say, you know, the IWMA had had to change similarly, handling of payroll. And we've been through multiple iterations of contractors trying to find the right solution. So it could be painful, I'm telling you.
It was a difficult search for them. And I think the most painful part is going to be for staff that's using it, which is only going to be three or four people in-house. But to learn software that does what it does, if you know anything about Excel, people know it at the 1% or 2% level. Or QuickBooks and stuff like that. If you really want to learn it in depth, it's like learning AutoCAD. It's insane. And as soon as you have a question, if there's not somebody you can tap on the shoulder, it becomes extremely frustrating. So I wish them a lot of luck in that because it can be very difficult.
Thank you. Councilmember Peak.
Yeah, I went to two events this weekend that were just great. The Sippin' Shop was a fantastic, a lot of business action downtown. It seemed to be the happening place to be Friday night. The memorial on Monday was fantastic. It was a great just a great homage to those the fallen soldiers of this country, and just a great great event all around. I also want to just was very happy this weekend that everywhere around me and anywhere I rode my bike or went for a run, people were weed whacking. So they're getting ahead of that fine and keeping our community safe. And it just, we got one more weekend, but the cacophony was a welcoming noise. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yes, I spent several hours, not several hours, but more than 1 hour weed eating this weekend myself. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I at the IWMA meeting in Integrated Waste Management Authority, we actually declined to accept a grant from the APCD for a charging station. The $80,000 cost seemed extremely excessive to the board, as well as the taking up of a couple of parking spots, a very limited number there. So that was kind of interesting. You don't hear that or do that often in terms of declining to take a grant, but the board did on about a 7-1 vote. And let's see, I think that's all I had committee-wise. Yeah, oh, we did we had the mayor's meeting here in Atascadero the previous Friday, and we had a discussion, we had a presentation by the SLOCOG staff regarding the next iteration of RENA, or Regional Housing Needs Assessment or allocations. And it's interesting, the state is looking at more than doubling the regional housing needs allocation to our county. And our county is one of the first ones, or our COG is one of the first ones in the state to go through this next iteration. And of course, they have a very convoluted way of kind of estimating what they think our county should accommodate in terms of new housing. And that means that we, of course, as individual jurisdictions, will ultimately be allocated a number that we will have to zone for. You know, that doesn't mean they'll get built, but that we will have to zone for. So that there's going to be an interesting discussion on that as time goes on. So that's all I have. Does any council member have an individual determination? Council member Funk.
I do, arising from our discussion today, that the dinosaur bone thing just really ticks me off that we're having to deal with this. And it's such a perfect example of the ways in which well-intentioned things that, you know, at one point aimed in one direction, create this layer cake of additional costs and obligation that affects all kinds of unrelated projects and make it tough to build the housing. So, you got to choose between housing for the young people of our community so that they have a future here, and so we can have a workforce for our businesses that make us grow, and, you know, some maybe missing out on a few old fossils someplace. You know, I'm with the kids. I would like, and I sense that we have a lot of agreement on that in the council. So I would just like to see, this is something that I would like to bring up with our elected representatives at the state level, and who I do get to see from time to time at events. And I would love to be able to speak on behalf of our entire council in saying that we would appreciate them taking a second look at that particular requirement and similar requirements, because it makes it very hard if they're going to ask us to zone for twice as much housing. If somebody's going to actually build that housing, we need to make it workable.
So, you know, we have a legislative platform, and I certainly agree with you, and certainly would love to have you or any of us that speaks with our state legislators about our frustrations as cities with these kinds of things that the state legislature comes up with. Many times they come up with them, and you know, years go by, they become more and more of a burden and more of an impediment. And they, you know, they never seem to take something away. You know, they always add more requirements. They never seem to take something away. They add more reporting requirements, and you generate reports that nobody reads, et cetera. As far as, you know, representing all of us, you probably have a consensus on that thought process. I'm looking to council and or the deputy city manager. You don't see any problems with any one of us who's in conversations with, you know, verbal conversations with our elected state representatives of expressing that opinion?
No. I think you guys have your approved legislative platform. Right. You know what that stands for, where that falls within what the council feels, and so expressing how you as an individual council member feels, or how that states, yes, I think we say in our legislative platform that if the city as a whole is going to take a stance, it has to fit within that, and then we will send that. But I think having those conversations as you will meet or are out and about is exactly what you guys do as our city council.
I think in general, you know, certainly the council has repeatedly in conversations on items addressed its frustration with those kind of things that the state imposes on us. So more from my perspective, more power to you. I know you have a closer relationship with some of our state elected representatives than some of the others of us on council. So I would certainly welcome you to do that.
The more pages that can go in the trash, the better.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So, thank you. Okay.
Then we will send that, but I think having those conversations as you will meet or are out and about is exactly what you guys do as our city council.
I think in general, you know, certainly the council has repeatedly in conversations on items addressed its frustration with those kind of things that the state imposes on us. So more from my perspective, more power to you. I know you have a closer relationship with some of our state elected representatives than some of the others of us on council. So I would certainly welcome you to do that.
The more pages that can go in the trash, the better.
Yeah. So, thank you. Okay.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
There are some approaches to it of a couple of kinds of genetic engineering that are promising. And the more precise technology is called CRISPR-Cas9, that does not involve the introduction of any foreign genes from other organisms. And that's the real promise, because that one is relatively leniently regulated by USDA.
Well, and by the way, Doctor, that's the one that, you know, you and I have talked about genetic engineering GE crops for a while. The ones that I think freak people out the most are the ones where they say, oh, yeah, we're taking part of a frog and a tadpole, and we're going to take part of a, you know, I don't know, alligator or whatever, and we're going to put those in the citrus. And that one just sounds bizarre and potentially dangerous.
It does, but it needn't be, because the risk of an organism to the environment or to human contact is a function of two things when it's been engineered. It's the characteristics of the host organism to which you're adding the gene, and what the added gene itself does. And the latter, the function of the added gene, is usually something very technical and arcane and has nothing to do with risk. Now, if you're introducing the gene for some potent toxin, that would be different, but that's not done. And if it were done, it would be subject justifiably to a lot of federal regulation. So